We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS. That's KACHAVA.com, code NEWS. We've all done it. Stock our fridge with leafy greens and good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice quality nutrition for the convenience of takeout. Keep your body and mind nourished all day with a whole body meal shake from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But the best part? It actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai, to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you've got endless ways to personalize your Kachava. Whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee, with every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting 85-plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags with code NEWS at kachava.com. That's 30% off for a limited time at kachava.com, code NEWS.
Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for Aftermath following the Alabama Crimson Tide's 20-9 win over the LSU Tigers Saturday night at Bryant-Denny Stadium. No, I am not coming to you tonight from a greenhouse. So just, spare me the jokes. It is quite leafy in here on this late Saturday night, but the Alabama Crimson Tide gets it done. Certainly not the prettiest performance on the offensive side of the ball over the final 30 minutes of that one. Just 100 yards of total offense for Alabama in that second half. But once again, an opportunistic defense of Kane Womack. Takes the ball away a couple of times and also does a pretty good job on third down. Did a nice job, I thought, fundamentally throughout the game. Gave up the one run to Harlan Berry for, 37 yards? Other than that, LSU trying to take advantage of the quick game early on, moving Garrett Nussmeier outside the pocket on occasion, then going for the outright quarterback change with Van Buren later in the game. So a difference in styles to go along with, just a different guy in there. And I thought the Alabama defense, more so certainly than the Alabama offense, handled things with aplomb over the course of the evening. Hey, we welcome you to jump into the show chat. Get your comments, your thoughts, anything you want to get into here post-game. We just heard from Kane Womack and, Kalen DeBoer. I'll get it right here in a minute. Kalen DeBoer's comments post game, and Kalen obviously acknowledging still plenty for this offense and this team to improve upon, especially with an Oklahoma team coming up next week off a bye week that defensively can really get after you like a Blake Baker defense can. And I thought really for a good bit of the game, the protection for Ty Simpson was adequate, was good enough. And I think there were times where Ty did a nice job pre-launch of getting himself in position, when he anticipated maybe some pressure and some things that they had seen, even against South Carolina, a stunt, a game that South Carolina worked against Alabama, where you had Dylan Stewart just deliver that big hammer shot to Ty Simpson. LSU ran something similar to that. Ty anticipated it, moved his feet just a little bit, got himself in position, but wasn't able to connect with Jeremy Bernard on that one deep ball. Jeremy still almost made the catch, but wasn't quite able to reel it in. So some missed opportunities for Alabama in the passing game. The run game is what it is. We've been talking about that for weeks now. And give LSU credit. Again, Blake Baker, he is the real deal. And if I were a candidate for that LSU job, I'd almost want assurances that he's going to stay around. But he's going to, we talk about players in the portal market that have big numbers that they're going to be looking ahead to. I think Blake Baker is going to have some big numbers. But still, Alabama, again, with opportunities, a run game, anemic I'll say this, though. If you're not going to run the football, the thing you better do is stop the run. And again, that goes back to Kane Womack and the Alabama defense. Did a really nice job other than that one explosive run for Harlan Berry. Took care of Durham for the most part. Did a good job against Berry. But Alabama running the football, right now to me, it has to be direct runs. Quick, just hitting runs. They're not going to get it done with the slower developing, you know, counter type of stuff and things like that. I just think they are who they are at some of those interior offensive line spots. And we've talked about this all season. They don't have a back that's an eraser where if you don't get it blocked or you don't block it well enough, they're going to cover for those. But at the end of the day, you're one win closer to Atlanta. And that's really what matters. I know there will still be some gnashing of teeth, some complaints, some concerns. I get all that. You know, with Oklahoma coming up, I get all that. But at the end of the day, you are right there on the doorstep of qualifying for the SEC championship game and the college football playoff. So you take wins like this. Tonight was kind of like a first round win in the NCAA tournament in hoops, which probably not a bad analogy given what we saw from Nate Oates' team up in the Big Apple earlier in the day against fifth ranked St. John's. But sometimes you get in those first round games where it's just not going to be pretty at all. And you just have to gut through it and get to that Saturday or Sunday round of 32 game. And that's kind of what it felt like for Alabama, especially there in the second half on offense. Say this for the offense, though. End of the first half, there are moments, there are deciding moments in games that aren't always in the fourth quarter or in the final few moments of a game. Sometimes, as Alabama has done time and time again, what, 7 out of 9 games now, they've gone down on that final possession of the second quarter and gotten into the end zone. They did it again tonight. And I thought LSU throughout the game was a gracious guest. The penalties, the decision there late in the second quarter by Frank Wilson or whoever made that decision. I got to think it's Frank, or he has the veto power, even as the interim, to throw the football on a 3rd and 11 when Alabama has no timeouts and you're backed up and you're going to get the ball. LSU's getting the ball to start the third quarter and LSU decides to throw the football on 3rd and 11. It's an incompletion. So now Alabama gets the football with time, even without the timeouts, and an opportunity to do what it did. Go down and get in the end zone, a couple of beautiful throws. That's probably the most surprising thing about the second half performance too, is that that felt like, uh-oh, right? Those two throws that Ty had, the deep ball to Lottie Brooks and then the touchdown to Ryan, it felt like, yeah, maybe they got the puzzle. They've got the riddle perhaps solved a little bit. And then to come out in the third and fourth quarter and perform like they did, that was pretty surprising. And it kind of started early in the third quarter. Ty had the one series that was not typical for him at all. You know, within that one series, Jeremy made a hell of a catch on a third down to keep that possession alive to start with. And then he had some chances, including the deep ball he missed to Jeremy, to really step on LSU's neck there early in the third quarter. And the Crimson Tide wasn't able to do it, but Alabama defense, Yonzi Pierre, once again, a couple of sacks, strip sack, forces that late fumble. Nakai Hill-Green with the punch out there in the first quarter and gets the recovery. So Alabama, once again, in the plus side of turnover margin and also on the plus side of sacks in a game like this. LSU not really built pass rush-wise like South Carolina was. I still think the bigger issue, and Oklahoma might be able to put some of this forth next Saturday afternoon at Bryant-Denny Stadium, depending on the health of a guy or two, I think, for OU too, is that edge ability. Jack Pyburn for LSU, not really that guy, not dynamic. You know, he can bring some power to the pass rush, but, you know, when they run that same game with him that South Carolina ran with Dylan Stewart, he doesn't get there. Dylan Stewart gets there with a lot on it. So I know Ty had the fumble from the pocket. The ball security in the pocket continues to need to improve for him. Jam had the pickup against Harold Perkins. I think Jam in that situation against Harold Perkins did about what you could expect him to do. After that, it comes down to getting the ball out. And if you don't get it out, you got to take care of the ball. You got to take care of the ball. What about Connor Talty too? Some folks owe Connor Talty an apology. And I know he missed the chip shot. You can't miss those. He missed the chip shot. But it was kind of the reverse of what Connor Talty has been this season. He's been really good from inside 40 and just okay from outside 40. Well, tonight he bangs two from 40 plus and he misses the chip shot there in the first half. And the second one really closed the game out. You know, we equate game-winning kicks to kicks at the buzzer or in the final seconds that give a team the lead. To me, if you close a game out and you make it two scores with 4 minutes left, that's as big a kick to me. That basically ends the game. And the one he made in the fourth quarter, that hold, I'm not saying Blake Dowd isn't a good holder or, you know, just didn't do a good job. And sometimes it just works out that way. You got 1.2 at most, I think it is, maybe less to get it off. And those laces were in the worst spot possible for Talty. And I think that's why he let out the big exhale after he made it. Not just because he made it, but he made a kick where the laces were as bad as they can get. And he absolutely drilled that kick to pretty much shut it down for the LSU Tigers. Although it was still good to see the baller from Eufaula go ahead and get the finish there, right, with the strip sack. Let's get to some comments. DML chiming in here in the show chat again. Thanks for tuning in here late on a Saturday night live on Ryer on YouTube. If you haven't subscribed to Ryer on YouTube, what are you waiting for? Go ahead and hit that subscribe button for us. Hit us with a thumbs up, a like. I mean, the ferns, these beautiful plants, they would greatly appreciate it as well. DML here in the show chat. What's wrong with Ty? Very atypical mistakes. Yeah, a couple games in a row now, you know, and I think there's some of it. The guy's human. I mean, I think when we really have time to look back on sort of that 6-7 game tear that he went on, that was maybe atypical for any quarterback. And he was still did some really good things tonight. As I said, that two throw sequence at the end of the second quarter, that was as good as it gets. And that's why it was a surprise to see him come out in the third quarter and struggle. But you got to understand, too, this guy's doing what he's doing without the benefit of any kind of run game, right? It's still amazing to me the efficiency Alabama has gotten off of play-action passes when they can't run the ball. I mean, there's still the threat of running it, but, boy, it's just not a really productive situation at all, as we know. So a couple things there, I think, DML. I'm not ready to panic where he's concerned, because I still saw enough tonight in the first half to think, yeah, this guy is still really, really good. And when you just look at the numbers, I mean, if you just sort of box score, analyze this thing, you're going to open this up tomorrow. And you're going to say, 21 of 35, 277 and a tutty. You know, that's not bad. No interceptions once again. Now, the yards per attempt are coming down a little bit here of late, too. Tonight, I guess he was around, eight. That's not bad. You know, it's when you start getting under seven in college football that you worry a little bit about maybe the chunk throws. And they were out there. You know, the opportunities were still there. Tide fan 88 chiming in. It wasn't pretty, but it was a victory in the end. That's it. That's it. One closer to Atlanta. Been a lot of years, even with the dominance Alabama's had in this series, where you'll take an 11-point win. And if you had Alabama and laid the 10, you definitely feel a lot better about this win than you would otherwise. What else do we have here? Silverblade 43 chiming in, says, hate to sound spoiled, but man, this was a hard watch. As hard of a watch as I've seen in a victory, maybe ever. Felt like both teams were woefully incompetent. Alabama has some fatal flaws. I've said that about Alabama. Sustainability for the way Alabama does it. You know, you wonder about that. But I will say this. I think the defense continues to show the kind of promise that can help cover for a lot. You know, Yanzi Pierre continues to just week in and week out seemingly stack performances. His development, I was thinking about this tonight, it's been kind of similar to Chris Braswell. You know, Chris Braswell came to Alabama as a five-star, really needed some time physically and really in every aspect of his game to sort of get to where he could be the player he ended up being after 4 years or so. That's kind of Yanzi Pierre. And now Yanzi Pierre's got to where he can play with some power. And also, what about Quay Rousseau? Do you get him back for Oklahoma? There's some silver linings out there. But they are going to have to continue to try to scheme and execute around a very subpar run game. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, it's, what was it, 4th and 3 late tonight, and they convert the 4th down?
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Ka'Chava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Ka'Chava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS. That's KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.
With the, you know, kind of the Philly special spinoff or whatever that is. And you know, when it's that situation, it's going to involve 3 guys. It's going to involve Ty Simpson, Jeremy Bernard, and or Josh Cuevas. And that's what it was again tonight. But I mean, when you need 2 or 3 yards and it's mid-November and you're basically having to have the football equivalent of Evel Knievel jumping the fountains at Caesar's Palace to get done, you know, but hey, you're doing it. At least you're doing it. And red zone, you did have the 1 touchdown run. That's the type of run I'm talking about. Direct run. That was a direct run. It wasn't a counter. Wasn't slow developing. It wasn't pulling a couple of linemen. It was straight up just zone run to a 240-pound back. And, you know, it helps when your 240-pound back runs like he's 240. So, Silverblade chiming back in here. Yeah, Ty going into a shell after getting hot was so weird. It's like halftime kills our juice every time. Yeah, I just think that again, the throws were there on that possession in the third quarter, and uncharacteristically, he just, you know, it started even with the little out route to Bernard. You know, he missed him by 3 feet. You're just not used to seeing that. That's how good Ty Simpson's been, too. I mean, watch DJ Lagway tonight, you know. Sully chiming in. I saw the run game on a milk carton. Well, I think it's beyond milk carton status at this point for the run game. Silverblade chiming back in. Feels like every play involving Jam, he gets you the bare minimum. He really doesn't seem like an SEC level back at this point. I defended Jam extensively, in large part because of what he's dealt with health-wise. And I thought early in the game, we saw maybe a previous version of him where it looked like he had a little bit more juice. But as the game wore on, it felt more like the Jam we've seen who's had to navigate some health issues this season. So, but look, I mean, this isn't one of those years where, you know, if you wanted to go get TJ Yeldon, you ran Derrick Henry out there, you know, Or if you wanted to go get Mark Ingram, you ran Trent Richardson out there. Or if you wanted to go get Eddie Lacy, you ran TJ out there. You know, you're not built that way in the backfield right now. And you're not, I know you guys get tired of me saying this. It's not what this offense is anyway. Tim chiming in here. Tim Lee, hit the like button. TR is staying up past his bedtime to give therapy, right? I know. Is everyone like laying down on a couch while I talk to him right now? Tim again, zone read, toss sweep, duo. They all sucked tonight. They weren't good. They weren't good. And Kapilovic tried the combinations again. I thought Michael Carroll did some pretty good things when he was in there at right tackle. What about the catch by Wilkin Formby there before the field goal? Couple of, let's be honest too. Let's give some credit to the offense on that series. Isaiah Horton with a hell of a catch down the LSU sideline. And then Formby, not only, it takes luck sometimes because that ball could have went any direction. And Alabama caught a bad break earlier in the game on the LSU fumble. Barry fumbles and he fumbles it forward. And LSU ends up getting on the ball. But how about Formby with the catch off the deflection, and then the big dude just immediately starts getting upfield. Picked up a few yards. Hey, that's better than Alabama runs. I think it was 2nd and 8 after that. That's better than after a lot of Alabama runs. So give Wilkin some credit for that. But, yeah, I mean, they're still trying all the combinations. Geno Vandermark in there tonight, you know. It's almost like Johnny Holstaff in SEC baseball come Sunday, the Alabama offensive line. You know, you might pitch it backwards with a closer to start and then close with a starter. Yeah, there's still a lot going on. When you're 8-9 games into the season and you're not rotating like they do, because you just say, you're thinking, man, we got 10 guys that are SEC starters, you know. Lil Joe C chiming in. How do you think we will fare next week against Oklahoma? I you know, we'll get into Oklahoma this week, Lil Joe. I can see that game being kind of like this one. And I already have heard some talk post-game tonight about, of course, the Alabama offense against that Oklahoma defense. I mean, that's going to be the marquee matchup. But the Alabama defense against that Oklahoma offense. Because Oklahoma struggles to run the ball too, like LSU. And so I think what it's going to become more of, though, for the Alabama defense next week is dealing with John Mateer in the quarterback run game. Especially as that game moves on. It seems like Oklahoma in games I've watched this year, as it gets later in games and the games are tight, they're really going to keep the ball in John Mateer's hands. Now, you know, I thought Van Buren did a nice job off the bench tonight, by the way, because I'm not sure if I would have gone ahead and made the move like Frank Wilson did, but the sack that Nussmeier took was certainly grounds at this point, because Nussmeier for a while now has looked like a mess in those type of situations. So I get it, but I thought Van Buren did some nice things. Mississippi State transfer, live arm, decisive. Tim back in here with Bray Hubbard played hair on fire. Yeah, he did. Tim also thinks Lawson played better tonight. I think the linebacker play in general is improved. And I know Nakai Hill-Green has been a big part of that. But, you know, it was kind of Justin Jefferson that got that going in the right direction. And then it's been Deontay and Nakai Hill-Green to go along with it. You know, it's going to be on those guys next week. Some of these quarterbacks run against Alabama in the run game without fear of consequence. And I understand the rules are what they are. There's only so much you can do. But Justin Jefferson sent the signal to Joey Aguilar at Tennessee in that game with a big hit. Somebody's got to do that. And I still think material will keep coming because he's that kind of guy. But there's got to be consequences for quarterback runs. Also, Tim says, Red Morgan, another great game. Defense won this game. No doubt. Would agree wholeheartedly. Connor Talty, a couple big field goals to go along with that. Blake Dowd had a nice punt down there to the one. Was that Bach who got that thing down there? Nice job of coverage by the Alabama punt team. Alabama, though, was fortunate there. Keon Saab tips the blitz. Van Buren sees it. Hits Tre'Dez Green right in the hands on a blitz beater and drops it. So Alabama defensively deserves its flowers. LSU helped. Penalties, you know, they're in a fourth and one. They get a false start. Nice job by Alabama. Still give the Alabama defense credit there, the late stem. That had some Kirby to it to get that false start. That certainly helped. Zachary says, with the strip sack, Jam can't even do the thing that sets him apart. Actually, he did. Ball's got to come out there. I mean, that's Harold Perkins. So I hear you. Yeah, I mean, you would love for Jam to get him on the second kind of on the reset. But Jam got him. Ball's got to come out. And if it doesn't, you still got to protect it. Silverblade, I feel like we've become more of a defensive team in SEC play. Offense has been pretty, I guess, inconsistent. Or, yeah, consistent, maybe not in the way you would like, with 20 to 30 points and 350 yards or so. Yeah, it's been what it's been of late. It's hard, man, when you can't run the ball. I mean, your quarterback can have a hell of a game, and you can look up at the end of the night, and you got 380 total yards, and he threw for 360, you know? I think they had 240 in the first half tonight. So, again, especially after that drive to get in the end zone quickly at the end of the second quarter, the numbers offensively, total numbers, passing game, they look pretty good. Second half, about 100 yards. Zachary says, you see teams play underneath in the secondary and make plays on passing downs, but why do we always bail and give them the underneath and drive down the field? Are you talking defensively what Alabama's seeing? I think they're playing a lot of that because they still know Alabama can take the top off with Ryan Williams and the receivers. So that probably has something to do with it. Again, Kalen DeBoer postgame, I will say this, it looked pretty good from an injury perspective, which is important. Because it's going to be another physical Saturday in Tuscaloosa. So you're going to need as much as you can get from a health perspective. And again, Quay Rousseau will obviously be a big storyline, I would think, this week. After the comments from both Kalen DeBoer and Kane Womack last week in regards to Rousseau. And I thought Justin Hill and some of those other guys, Noah Carter, did a nice job tonight. You know, Yonzi's your top pass rush guy. You know that. But again, LSU's run game, 26 carries, 59 yards. 37 of those came on one play. So other than that one explosive, you know, Caden Durham, 3 carries, 4 yards. So sacks factor into that as well, obviously, come off that rushing total. Alabama defense, Deontay with 9 tackles, half tackle for loss. Alabama had 7 tackles for loss in the game, LSU just 4. So that was a good job. Alabama did do a better job, at times anyway, of eliminating the negative plays on offense and much better in terms of not being penalized. You know, what was it? 2 penalties on Alabama tonight? LSU, the pre-snap penalties on offense were rough. Justin Jefferson, 7 tackles, half tackle for loss. Keon Saab, 5 tackles, half tackle for loss. We talked about Bray Hubbard, had a forced fumble, had a pass breakup. Um, So some productive guys on the defensive side of the ball. Just going to look at special teams. You had the penalty there on the block in the back on Xavier Brown there in the fourth quarter when Alabama was up 8, and it looked like Cole was going to have a return down around the 30 and really get you in a position from a field goal perspective to go ahead and go up 2 scores. But you got the block in the back there. Blake Dowd, 3 punts, 40-yard average, all 3 of his punts inside the LSU 20. So that's a good thing. Not much in the kickoff return game. Lottie Brooks, 2 of those, long at 25. Cole had the 2 punt returns, lost the 1 to penalty for 22 yards. Talty with the field goals from 44 and 45, big. And I know he missed the 26-yarder. You can't miss that. But it's kind of a wash because Damon Ramos, the kicker for LSU, is a good kicker, and he missed from 30 there in the first quarter. So it kind of evened out right there. Anything else for me, gang, before we wrap it up on a Saturday night? Zach's asking about the Alabama defense giving space. I thought Kane was a little more patient tonight. He brought it the one time there in the fourth quarter. I think he brought it. I don't think that was simulated. I think that was 5 or more with Sab. Sab tipped it early. Give Van Buren credit. He saw it, and he had what he wanted, boy, to Green. Green just feels like if you don't get Tredez Green involved early, if you're LSU, he just fades. Silverblade, I'm just going to take the optimistic view and hope the offense overlooked LSU in favor of getting revenge on OU. No, I mean, I don't think they overlooked LSU. There's a couple of ways to look at it tonight. You can look at it from a pessimistic viewpoint because you got Oklahoma coming in next week, so it's not going to get any easier with that defense. Or you can look at it like you're coming off the bye week. Teams come out of bye weeks different. That's not really plausible because, again, in the first half, what has made Alabama's offense special or what has made it dependable, we saw it in the first half. You know, the question you might ask more this week is what changed in the second half? And so, but that's good information for Alabama too, because, you know, they need it, whatever that is, because, you know, Venables is going to have, it's going to have plenty for you in that playbook, and they're going to bring it. John Roberts chiming in here. Can you see Bama trying to AK at some point, or is the problem too much just the O-line? Yes. I mean, if they weren't as quarterback centric as they are, I think, yes, you could see more of AK Deer. But the protections are so important. You know, if they were more of a run heavy team, then yeah, you know, put him in there and give him some runs, because you're not really first down, second down, maybe dialed towards throwing it like they are. But if you're worried about him from that perspective, it's a tough offense to hit the ground running in as a running back. But he definitely has that type of game-changing ability that they don't have right now with basically the two guys they're playing in Daniel Hill and Jam, which is why I go back to just, I know you got to mix up runs. I get that, but they, however they mix it up, they need to be just straight direct runs and try to take your profit. Daniel Hill did a nice job on the touchdown run. You know, stayed up enough and got the ball in the end zone. Alabama really in the red zone for a team that can't run the ball is pretty good. They weren't great tonight. Got in the end zone a couple times, though, in the red zone. And LSU offensively, he's had real, real problems. And they continued on this Saturday night. Well, hey, just wanted to jump on with you fine folks on a Saturday night, talk some Alabama LSU. Once again, if you haven't subscribed to the channel, go ahead and hit that subscribe button for us. And if you would give us a like, a late night like, that would help us out tremendously as well. We're going to have continuing coverage of the Alabama Crimson Tide coming up in the days to come and some other stuff as well right here on Ryer on YouTube. As always, appreciate you taking the time to join us live right here on Ryer on YouTube. Have a great rest of your Saturday night, a great Sunday, and until next time, so long, everybody.